Good morning, Christ Center. It's Wednesday, October 22nd, and we are now in week 7 of our walk through the book of Mark. Today, we're going to be reading through Mark 12, verses 18 through 34. But before we begin, let's take a moment to quiet our hearts and invite the Holy Spirit to join us.
Mark 12, 18 through 34. Sadducees, who say there is no resurrection, came to him and questioned him. Teacher, Moses wrote for us that if a man's brother dies, leaving a wife behind but no child, that man should take the wife and raise up offspring for his brother. There were 7 brothers. First married a woman, and dying, left no offspring. The second also took her, and he died, leaving no offspring, and the third likewise. None of the 7 left offspring. Last of all, the woman died too. In the resurrection, when they rise, whose wife will she be, since the 7 had married her? Jesus spoke to them. Isn't this the reason why you're mistaken? You don't know the scriptures or the power of God. For when they rise from the dead, they neither marry nor are they given in marriage, but are like angels in heaven. And as for the dead being raised, haven't you read in the book of Moses, in the passage about the burning bush, how God said to him, I am the God of Abraham, and the God of Jacob, and the God of Isaac. He is not the God of the dead, but of the living. You are badly mistaken. One of the scribes approached when he heard them debating and saw that Jesus answered them well. He asked him, which command is the most important of all? Jesus answered, the most important is, listen, Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is, love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other command greater than these. And then the scribe said to him, you're right, teacher. You've correctly said that he is one, and there is no one else except him. And to love him with all your heart, with all your understanding, with all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself is far more important than all the burnt offerings and sacrifices. When Jesus saw that he answered wisely, he said to him, you're not far from the kingdom of God. And no one dared to question him any longer.
Thank you, Pastor Joshua, who just changed the words of the scripture by putting Jacob in front of Isaac. Such heresy. Mark, what are we going to do with him? I kid. We have more encounters here with Jesus and the religious leaders in the temple during Holy Week. What are you seeing here, Mark?
I think one of the things that's interesting is you have 2 encounters, one with this ludicrous request.
Yeah.
It kind of reminds me of a little bit of Peter saying, hey, if I forgive someone 7 times, is that enough? In this sense of just, I've gone all out. And yet Jesus takes it so much farther than that. And it's also interesting to me that the scribe has a completely different approach.
Yeah,
he's,
I was thinking that too.
He's very respectful. There's this contrast between the two.
Well, I wonder, was this scribe also one that was going to trap him? But Jesus gave such a good answer that he's like, wow, you're really right. Like, I don't know. That's an interesting thought. But anyway, I don't want to jump ahead. Well, let's look at this first part here. If you guys remember back in May, we talked about the book of Ruth, and we talked about this thing called Levirate marriage, which was this law that if a man died and he had a widow without children, then she would marry his brother so she could be taken care of, and they would be raised, their children would be raised in the name of the late husband. So it was this beautiful thing to take care of the widows. So that's what the Sadducee is referring to. He's giving this scenario and say, oh, suppose the next guy died. And what about the next day? Next guy. So then who's she going to be married to in heaven?
Well, what's even more interesting is they were so conservative, just the way they thought about life. I don't think he even really they didn't believe in angels. They didn't believe in a lot of spiritual stuff. So in some ways, posing this question for them, the answer is there is no resurrection. So therefore, this can't even exist.
Right.
And yeah. So it's interesting to me that they're trying to trap him, with something that they don't even fully believe.
Yeah, the Tyndale commentary uses this term. The Sadducees present a reductio ad absurdum argument. Like, oh yeah, you just, you know, they pushed it. Like, you know, like since the belief in resurrection leads to ridiculously complex marital situation in the afterlife, it must be an absurd thing to believe. Joshua?
I love his answer in that he brings them to reality. The reality of who God is and what his plans are beautiful. And they make these absurd questions and supposed traps just fall flat because he has, as you mentioned earlier, the Levirate law was there, a loving way to take care of someone who had been widowed and to care for the community that it was set up. But it was temporary that God's going, no, I actually want you all to be sons and daughters for eternity. But in this time, in this season, you get to be married to a person and have offspring. But you're going to live forever with me. That's my plan. And so the simplicity and the beauty of what God has planned for us is amazing. And they're missing the whole point. God is a good God and he's got a great plan. I also, this is one of my favorites to encourage people who have gone through loss or remarriage or divorce, is reminding them that God's ultimate plan for us is not marriage. We will be married. We will be the bride of Christ. That will be the only marriage. So when we do lose that, it's not something that is eternal loss. It's something that was going to be temporary anyway. So that's an aside, but I'm so comforted by this scripture.
That's good. Yeah, that's very good. The second part of this, the scribe approaching, saying, which commandment is most important of all? And Jesus saying, hey, you know, love God and love your neighbor. And the scribe agrees with him. This is fascinating, isn't it?
Well, these are both in the Old Testament.
Oh, yeah.
He's really going back and he's showing his knowledge of Scripture as well as the idea that the commandments hang on those two.
Yeah.
And whether the scribe was trying to trick him or was curious, I almost feel like that the scribe left this interchange going, there's something here happening that was more than I expected.
Yeah, absolutely.
And verse 28 says that he heard them debating and saw him answering well. So then he does dig in. And I would agree with you, Jason, that I think he was impressed. And then we look at the end in verse 34, after the scribe appreciates Jesus' answer, Jesus says to him, you're not far from the kingdom of God. That reminds me so much of Jesus's posture with all of us, where he says, you know, a bruised reed I will not break, a smoldering wick I will not blow out. He's commending this guy and saying, you're on the right track. He encourages him, even in the midst of whatever compromised or mixed position this scribe is in, Jesus is still inviting him, come closer, you're not far off.
Yeah, yeah. He's looking back, this man's looking back and saying, man, this really is the heart of the scripture. And it's like he got it right. He's saying, Jesus, like you hear these incredible scholars, and this scholar is saying, wow, this is really true. It's better. Love is better than burnt offering and sacrifice. And once again, this is in the temple. Once again, we see this over and over again.
And there's also this contrast here between these two parties.
Yeah, yeah.
Where you have the one that is really seeking power, the Sadducees, and trying to maintain power and maintain position.
Right.
And you see the other, regardless of what his initial intent is, seeking actually, I think, the heart of God. We come back to that question of, who do you say I am? The scribe is actually understanding the purpose of God and sending the Messiah far better than many others have. I don't know if he's made that complete connection.
Right, right.
But he's on that right track, which is actually pretty interesting.
Come with curiosity.
And encourage the people. You're not far from the kingdom of God.
Absolutely.
I can pick out the thing that is going really well in your life. If I can find one thing and go, wow, if I could just encourage you in this.
Even if they're not following Jesus. Hey, you know, you're doing the Lord's work. Whether or not you agree, I'm telling you, like, you're doing something beautiful. And that's what he was able to tell this guy. So let's remember that there are religious leaders in the Gospels who get it. Who get it. Like, they're not this faceless team of villains. Many of them were because they were threatened by the power, but some of them got it. And this is one. Joshua, can you pray us out?
God, thank you so much for how well you love. We love you back. Help us to represent you even better. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thanks, guys. See you tomorrow.